For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I think it's fair to say if he were, if Pat Freiermuth had a vote on whether or not Matt Canada should have been back as Steelers offensive coordinator last year,
he'd have been stuffing that ballot box with no.
Yes.
He'd have said stop the count as soon as it was 1-0.
Yeah, I don't think he felt like it was in his best interest to have Matt Canada.
Well, I hope he's developed then. Okay, then like you would say stock up for him because he's got a guy that loves to call plays for tight ends, but
yes, he
he's
got
to be able to. He's got to be able to be at least passable as a blocker, which he frankly hasn't been, to be on the field for some of these big heavy sets in a running offense.
I don't agree with that.
I think he's got to show a little bit of an ability to block, because otherwise, if he's out there, you can basically disregard him as anything other than a pass catcher.
Which I think is what he is. I mean, ideally, you'd want someone that does both, like Heath, but he's not. I'm trying to give him the most honest assessment of a player as I possibly can. And I really don't think that our opinions of Freiermuth are really that different. I think it's just a matter of what
your opinion, you know, I can tell you
what think
a it
player
is,
like that is worth.
And how replaceable you think a player like that is, or I think a player like that is. And what you're also doing is a value judgment against the salary cap continuing to go up.
Yeah, and I do think his production will go up this year. What were his stats from last year? Do you have them? Do I need a Zeiss pause?
No, he had like what is the Zeiss? What do they actually do for
Donnie,
that?
Do you have the sounder that they play for the Zeiss pause? Is it in there? No? Yes? Sometimes I hear that.
32 catches, 308 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, he'll go way over that this year, Chris.
I would hope. Those are bad stats. He played in 12 games. He averaged less than 3 catches a game.
Is there an easy way to look up where in the 93.7 The Fan fantasy football draft last night, where Freiermuth was drafted relative to other tight ends? Can you do a tight end specific search for that? Because I would be interested in just our little corner of the world where you would think Steelers players would get a little bumper bonus, how we as sports obsessed fantasy football people were
I'm still
grading,
pissed off that we
gauging.
Got a C-minus from Yahoo.
I'm not.
They can F
that,
off.
But that's never... There are more stories from anecdotally from people about fantasy football where they say, the computer ESPN gave me an F and I won my league. Or, man, this website thought my CBS Sports said my draft blew ass and I ended up finishing in second place.
Man, that is...
Can you imagine if that was the actual write-up?
I would respect
your draft blew ass.
Okay, so we took Laporta. It went 30 picks, 31, 32, 33. Kelsey, Laporta, Andrews in that order, okay?
Okay.
So that was the first run on tight ends. Pick 50, Kittle. 51, Dalton Kincaid. That is 5 tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Freiermuth, but see, this is the problem. Pat Freiermuth was the 6th tight end picked.
Who took him?
Kosher Nostra.
Oh, that's the powerhouse.
Jen Halley, Jeff Martin in our sales
they're
department.
They're our big sales team.
And Jen is, they're both very they're sharp. They got a worse grade than we did, which means they were really picking off their own board. And Jen had a fantasy draft prep sheet.
She had a
swear to God it was laminated.
Color-coded. It was like
it
Andy
was a
Reid's.
Thank you. I said, you look like Andy Reid over there with that play sheet calling plays right now. Anyway, guys who went after Freiermuth in this draft at tight end. Trey McBride.
He's better. McBride's better than Freiermuth.
He went 9 picks later. After that, Kyle Pitts, 78th. If he's worse,
Pitts
it's not
is better.
He's right. He's a pure receiver. Evan Engram, 84th. Better.
He had 100 catches last
Dallas
year.
Dallas Goedert in Philly. I think he's better.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Okay, he went 87th. So now we're almost, now we're at the Brock Bowers. He's going to be, I'm sorry, Jake Ferguson in Dallas went pick 100 to the Burger Boys. Brock Bowers, pick 101. He looks like an insurance adjuster, but he's probably going to be great.
All right, so even if we allow for the idea that those guys are all better than Freiermuth, that's still 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. The 12th best tight end in the league makes about $13 million a year, Chris. I mean, that's just, it. The prices for things have gone up, if you haven't noticed.
You're going to make your usual joke?
The Bidenomics.
Inflation's been cooling for a while now, though.
I've watched the political ad where Ms. Harris says what? I love Bidenomics or something like that? But it's actually twisted as a negative ad. She's saying that she's all for
it. You can usually tell when the ad is going to be negative by the tone, but also it's like they throw a shadow over the picture. So the person
to make you think she's sinister and devious, or something
like that.
The person
looks more ominous. Yeah. Like they're in the where was Lex Luthor's hideout? Superman had that Fortress of Solitude. Luthor was doing something.
I never got into comic books, Malzy, and I don't think Donnie did either.
Well, Superman,
Donnie, were you reading comic books as a kid?
They made movies about Superman. Real boring superhero. No weaknesses except some stupid thing that only exists on another planet. Whoop-de-doo.
So the Steelers have roughly around $10 million in cap space. Where do you come down on this? Steelers are somehow, even with some offensive line issues and trying to figure out your quarterback thing and everything else, no Sam Alu. Mm-hmm. The Steelers start the season off something like 5-2. They get off to a very good start, but their knee starts to ache. They're seeing the leaves on the trees start to move around because here comes the wind and the clouds are gathering overhead and the storm is brewing. That is the second half of the season. We just heard Chris Russo rattle off that schedule.
November 17th on Baltimore. At Cleveland, at Cincinnati, at Philadelphia,
ooh,
at Baltimore, Kansas City, Cincinnati.
Okay, so
Donnie's right. It sounded like it was going to come out Philadelphia.
So that hellacious schedule. And you're not getting a lot of production from your wide receivers outside of George Pickens.
Mm-hmm.
Three names here. Wide receivers in the final years of their contract for teams that could sell at the trade deadline.
Okay.
To consider here.
Okay.
With that newfound cap space from the Hayward signing. Chris Godwin. DeAndre Hopkins. And here's the one that I think would probably never happen, even if a trade benefited both sides by getting a player on a short-term deal to help you win and giving that team a draft pick for down the road to make them better in the future. I just can't see it happening because they've made few trades with each other, although they did make the Justin Gilbert deal. Amari Cooper in the last year of his deal.
So I would rank them in order from reverse order. Like, interesting to me. Godwin, 3.
Really?
Well,
there's the anti-Penn State bias coming out again in Mulsey.
He runs a lot of stuff. He still runs routes over the middle. Where do they throw the ball? Not over the middle. I might put Hopkins 1, even though Cooper is clearly
Malzy,
the best receiver.
I get what you're saying about how
Hopkins is just going to go down. You have two jump ball guys on the outside.
I know what you're saying about how Russell Wilson in Denver was allergic
Godwin
to throwing the ball
over the middle. Godwin is a very good football player. I get that.
But, like, you have to get good football players that force the guy to use the middle of the field eventually, and he would be one of them.
I mean, Cooper's the best receiver of the three, in my opinion. Cooper's a beast, dude. I went during the interminable Brandon Ayuk saga.
I like all three guys.
I was telling you that Cooper, I thought, was straight up better than Ayuk, and I didn't know if it was even particularly close. Cooper is also like a route runner with few comparables.
I think Hopkins is the most realistic, though.
Well, I think he would actually fit on this team for what we know Russ objectively
likes
to do.
What a bounce back year he had in Tennessee with Levis and others playing quarterback. 75, 1,057 yards and 7 touchdowns.
He had a very good year.
That's a nice season for a guy in his 30s now.
Actually, though, you know what? It's not like he was having horrible. You know what? The year before that in Arizona, he was having even a much better year. Just didn't play. I mean, he can go up and high point the football still.
Donnie, will you take back some of the negative things you've said about the con artists if they do something like that in early October? Would you swing back around and say, well, he didn't do it in July or August, but he did eventually solve the problem with a really good player?
Yeah, I mean, the need's still going to need to be addressed. Like, he can't just sit on it. So it's almost like there's added pressure, though, that if they do put themselves in that spot, that action needs to be taken. Like, if they are in, what'd you say, 5-2, they're in a nice spot, which they better be, given the back half. He's got to take a shot there at somebody who's available. Unless Van Jefferson makes all of us eat our words and
he just looks like
a beast.
Just
Plan V.
But just remember, guys, he had a really, really good training camp.
It will be funny if Jefferson has like a 65 catches, 900 yards, 7 touchdown season. That would add to my amusement. Ayuk tweaks a hammy and only plays 9 games or something like that.
If Pickens goes down with an injury, I'm going to barf. I mean, they're going to be really in a world of hurt.
Would there be a college team with a better receiving core on paper than what they'd be rostering?
Yes! I mean,
probably like Alabama, Georgia, Ohio
like
State.
Washington last year would have been better with Adunze, McMillan, and Polk.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A lot of Steeler happenings. Cam Hayward got himself a new contract. First practice. Real practice, not a bonus day or little fake practice before a preseason game. The real deal today. Jeff Hathorn was there. He's brought to you by Gutter Helmet. Save 50% on installation of Gutter Helmet during their fall sale this month only. 888-5-HELMET. Also, let you guys know this September, make losing weight part of your new routine. Energy, clarity, better health. Find it all at awaken180weightloss.com. It's time for the Hawk Report. All right, Jeff, let's start with the guys that are iffy for Sunday. Troy Fautanu talked about his availability. Did he sound like a guy who expects to start on Sunday?
He sounded like a guy that's feeling better about his knee. Sounded like a guy that's done a little bit more in practice, but a guy that also talked about progression with that knee and returning from the knee. So while he said, you know, we don't, because that question was, I asked him that question directly, and he's like, well, you know, we still have a few days before Sunday, but I wouldn't say it looks great for him to play.
More because of his progression not being on time or the coaching staff just not wanting to put him out there even if he is ready to roll physically?
I think more his progression. I mean, he did some team stuff today, as he told me, really for the first time in nearly a month since he was on that field in the Houston game. So, I mean, it's been a while. And you're talking about facing an NFL situation where you go, what, against Matthew Judon in your first ever game, having really had very few team reps, let alone game-type reps.
Yeah, I like his chances better than Dan Moore against Matthew Judon, Jeff. And I've barely seen the guy play in the NFL.
Yeah, I just think they're going to probably be cautious with that.
Jalen Warren,
we've seen other examples.
When Jalen Warren talked on Monday about how he was going to be good to go and stuff, was that just foo-foo talk? Was that just him blowing smoke like he did with Justin Fields returning kickoffs?
No, I don't think so. And he was limited today. But I think because he's had a couple of years of experience, they're just giving it another day to let's be a little bit more limited. Thursday likely is going to be full, and I do expect him to be out on the field on Sunday. Maybe not at the same reps that they would ideally want to have him, but I think he'll be out there.
How about Roman Wilson being limited today, Jeff? What's the timeline as you see it there?
Not this week. That's the timeline. Not this week. You know, he not only missed the entire preseason, but he hasn't been in a full practice
in forever.
Early in camp. So,
do you think they'll be motivated to try to get him up to speed faster than they would otherwise in this situation because of how thin they are? Or do you think they actually believe what they're saying about Van Jefferson and Scotty Miller?
I think there could be some, let's see what Van Jefferson and Scotty Miller do. If they do what many fear Van Jefferson and Scotty Miller are going to do, maybe you see him back,
Jeff,
a little
quicker.
There,
you've been there since they started practicing in shorts in May. You're not drinking Van Jefferson Kool-Aid, are you?
I would put it this way.
Oh, no.
If they had Ayuk, I would feel good about Van Jefferson as a three.
Okay, you didn't even mention Scotty Miller Kool-Aid, so I don't even think it's worth asking about that.
Jeff, they do not have Brandon Ayuk, unfortunately, as my Twitter mentions have alerted me to.
So I think I would need to see something to say that, oh, they're going to be just fine with Van Jefferson. He would have to prove it. I think Scotty Miller can, you know, he's got a little speed. Maybe he can make a couple of plays, but again, I'm not looking at either of those two guys as being number two receivers in today's NFL. I don't see it. It might surprise me. And they'll have every opportunity for it, but I think Pat Freiermuth is going to be receiver number two.
Here's a random one for you. Tell me which guy you think plays more in Atlanta offensively, Calvin Austin or Darnell Washington?
I think if things go the way they want and they're able to run the football, we'll see more Darnell.
I think so too.
Than Calvin Austin.
I agree with that.
Do you think that pretty much applies to the whole season, though? Because I would think it does, Jeff.
You know, yes, I would say that. Yes, I think that would apply to the entire season because they want to be able to run the football. That's the staple of Arthur Smith's offense. And obviously with the size of a Darnell Washington, you'd like to have that body out on the field.
Here comes the great test of Jeff and the fun of doing the Hawk Report. Does Jeff think we'll see Justin Fields at all on Sunday?
Oh, he'll be there. He'll be in uniform.
Does Jeff think we'll see Justin Fields on the field when a play is being run by the Steelers offense?
You know, Mike Tomlin said he wanted to have some opportunities to use his athleticism.
I wish we had Colony right now because he would just say the hell with it and break all the rules and tell us exactly what he saw in practice. So we'll have to read between the lines there with
Jeff. Well, hold on. Jeff's a regular guest. Pony.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, I was getting to that.
Well, I didn't know. You kind of looked like you were in wrap it up mode, which I was surprised about.
We are asking our weekly guests to give their Steelers record predictions. Mike Florio went 9-8. And said they'll miss the playoffs with a winning record.
Aditi has so far invoked her Fifth Amendment right not to incriminate
herself.
Aditi
said, I can't do gambling. Wow. I said, I'm not asking you to bet. She said, I don't know if I can do predictions. I reminded her that Bill Cowher will make a Steelers prediction and a Super Bowl prediction on Sunday. She then said she needed more time. And I said, if you don't give me an answer by 6, you're banned from the show. So here is your chance, Jeff, to offer up your 2024 Steelers record prediction.
Yeah, I'm based on recent results. And not just to blindly copy Mike Florio, and I had said previously 9-8. I think that's where this team is. And with that division, I think that puts them in third. And I think this time 9-8 misses out on the playoffs.
Look at this. Wow.
9-8, missed playoffs.
How about prediction for Sunday in Atlanta?
I actually think it's going to be a win Sunday in Atlanta, like 20-17. I think defensively, they've got everybody healthy. I like the fact, at least from a Steelers standpoint, that maybe Pitts isn't going to be full in that game.
Oh, I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah, he was limited in practice with the hammy today. So
soft tissue.
Yeah, those are rough. Hearing anything on the Freiermuth front?
I feel confident on Freiermuth on that deal getting done.
Do you think it'll be closer to $10 million a year or $13
million? It's a great question. I think slightly closer. That's a really good number, because I think 11.5 is a good point. I'll say slightly over.
Okay. How do you feel about Freiermuth as a player through three seasons, Jeff? What would be your grade for his Steelers career and your expectations for him?
He thinks they should have drafted Cade Stover and cut him loose.
Well, I mean, obviously. Listen, I think his first year when he had Ben, hit, what, 7 touchdowns, caught 76% of the passes going his way. Probably were really good passes that went his way, and he was able to haul them in. The next year, he even had 700-plus yards. He dealt with some injuries last year, and obviously the offense dealt with a lot last year. I think there's a lot more meat on the bone. If you're a tight end and you could go seek out an offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. One of the top 5 you would pick to help you out would be Arthur Smith. So I think he can build on those numbers. I think he's a better player than what he's shown. I don't think he's Travis Kelce, but I think he can be a very effective tight end. You know, even a bottom end of this, but a top 10 tight end, like 9 or 10, 11, 12, somewhere in that area in the NFL.
Give us a player to watch offensively on Sunday and a guy to keep an eye on defensively for this game.
I just want to say Van Jefferson, just to get everybody going. I would say an offensive player to watch is Zach Frazier.
Yep.
How does he handle the middle? Grady Jarrett's going to be working around in that middle. That to me defensively is this might be obvious, but another guy in the middle, Patrick Queen, what kind of impact can that speed make on this defense? Is he able to, if Pitts, assuming Pitts plays, and if he gets stuck on him, is he able to have that speed where he can hang with a guy like that? Because, you know, that's what the Steelers are buying. They're buying speed. They're buying something different. Let's see what Queen can do.
Now you sound like Todd Graham. Oh. You use speed like 10 times
hammer
in
down.
That sentence there, Jeff.
Hammer damn down.
Over under 34.5 yards, longest kick return by the Steelers in this game.
Under.
I agree. All right, Jeff.
You guys are no fun.
Good stuff. Thank you for the Hawk Report.
Thanks, boys.
It remains to be seen in terms of the impact of his injury or his availability. We got a week's work ahead of us. In terms of how we divide the labor up, that's going to be week to week. We got some really capable guys, and you throw CP into that mix as well. More than anything, I just love the demeanor of our running back room, man. These guys don't run away from confrontation. They run to it. That collective, those 3 guys, I'm really excited about.
Jeff Hathorne just joined us on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. Mike Tomlin there on running backs. It sounds like Mike Tomlin has definitely become a new man. He is a reform man. He used to be, I'm picking one running back, and that guy's going to play all the time until he gets injured or isn't good enough anymore. And now he's talking about the entire collection of backs. This is one place where I think Mike Tomlin has made strides. Now, the next step is to treat Jaylen Warren like the better running back than Najee Harris. But I guess I can't have it all in life. So I'm sounding like I'm settling, but I am at least pleased that Tomlin has made this adjustment, because when Najee was drafted, it was, let's just play the guy all the time and the hell with sharing the wealth and spreading it out like they did in New England for all those years.
So in a way, Jaylen Warren was like a trailblazer here.
Yeah.
He was so good, he forced Tomlin to acknowledge him like he was what was that, Roman Reigns, Donnie?
I don't know about it. Is it wrestling?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Acknowledge me. That's his big thing.
It used to be when he's a bad guy.
Far cry from Hacksaw Jim Duggan just going, ho! Kind of like that better. By the way, someone I know keeps asking me to get information about Donnie because they want to send some Hulk Hogan-related memorabilia back to Donnie, like personalized. Hogan signing things to Donnie. Hogan sending like a heartfelt message to Donnie.
This is when I wouldn't stay down for the 1-2-3, brother. We changed the book into that one on the
fly, dude.
This
person happens to be a very close personal friend of Terry, which I believe is
Mr.
Hogan's
Balea.
Real name.
Terry Balea.
And this person relayed to Terry that you had visited his restaurant.
Yes, and, I did. Hogan, big fan. The nachos were fantastic.
And Hogan wants to, in some way, thank you for making a point to visit his hangout. And yeah, I'm dead serious about this. And wants to either send
to decide who it is you know
an
that
autographed
knows
picture,
the Hulkster.
An autographed shirt, an autograph. I don't know. What else do people do wrestlers autograph besides shirts?
A bandana.
That would be great. Would you take that?
Oh, yeah. That would be good.
Would you wear it?
Famed Hogan bandana. I'm not going to wear it if it's signed.
I think it would be cool if you did. Hey, I've gone to Steelers games where I bleep you not. People got autographed jerseys on.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah, there was a kid I went to college with. He would wear like a signed like Heath Miller jersey all the time. And we're like, brother, what are you doing? Like, put that in a frame. It's like all like stained because he's worn it.
I love it.
100 times.
I love it.
Brother, what are you doing, dude?
You think Hogan would tell Craig that he found me first? Like, you know, that Donnie guy, I like him. I found him first, Craig.
Why? Is that a thing that he does?
Yeah, he's like
he's discovered every great wrestler, right?
Yeah. Like, he after a guy becomes great.
He's like, that was the Hogan
says,
bump,
like,
dude.
You know what? I told so-and-so that this dude would be a real player.
You know, we can kind of claim that about you a little bit.
Well, we gave him the Donnie football moniker.
Pony especially, I think, really saw something in you before anybody else did, and now you just won the big internal award for last month.
And you know
what
the thanks I get for that is? Whenever I get something wrong, Donnie goes right to Twitter and just puts that out there.
Oh, we do, yeah. We bury you. That's how you know we love you.
That's called biting the hand that feeds, but he doesn't give a damn.
I do that to
you,
too.
He's sawing that thing off.
Oh, I just...
But I don't give me any credit for your...
Meteoric rise.
Meteoric rise, business. Exactly.
Yes. Oh, yes.
All right, we've got some people on the line here who want to offer up their Steelers predictions. Aditi has 26 minutes to get her prediction in. I still haven't heard anything.
What do you think happens if she doesn't give you the prediction?
I'm going right to Craig and saying, look.
And you ban her for a week. I feel like there will actually be consequences here. Truth or consequences?
No, because it's not a big ask. It's look at the schedule for 5 minutes and pick the record. And then if you get it wrong, we'll mock you for it relentlessly.
It's going to be tough for her if she does look at the schedule to see those two games late against Baltimore and wonder how the Steelers are going to win those two.
November 17th on Baltimore at Cleveland.
I don't know why he says it that way.
Baltimore.
Here is Dustin in Monroeville. Hello, Dustin.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Dustin.
Hey, so real quick. Mike Tomlin, my prediction is going to talk his way through another 500 game season.
Can't have a 500 season unless they have a tie.
Yeah, so are you going to predict a tie, Dustin?
I'm going to predict a tie, yes.
So you're going 8-1. Do I hear
maybe.
That right?
Why don't you predict three ties and go 7-7-3?
Well, you can't say maybe. You got to give a real prediction here, Dustin.
All right, well, let's just go 9-8. He's going to talk his way through another season.
Are they going to make the playoffs at 9-8?
No.
Is Dustin happy with a 9-8 season if that's what the Steelers do?
No, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired.
Do you need
to
ask him that question? Listen to him. He sounds like he's been doing a funeral announcement for a loved one.
He is the personification of the person that Ross Tucker was referring to when he said this on his podcast today.
They feel like an 8 or 9 win team. I think it's interesting because if you're a Steelers fan, you're probably starting to feel like every year the Steelers are an 8 or 9 win team and you're almost kind of getting sick of it. I would just say to you, I understand that mindset. However, they keep making the playoffs. They win 10 games last year with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph and make the playoffs. It's pretty impressive, actually, what they've been able to do with their quarterbacks. I think you're still in a situation where you don't have a top 15 quarterback. To have winning seasons without a top 15 quarterback is good.
No, it's not.
Is it?
Because you're not getting anything out of it. You're not getting the better draft position to get a top 15 quarterback. Exactly. You're just spinning your wheels and running in circles.
Do you wonder about sometimes, like, Ross played football at the highest level.
And he went to an Ivy League school.
I'm sure he understands how hard it is to win games. And I feel like sometimes guys who did it have so much respect for Tomlin because they understand that it is tough to win a game week in and week out, any game, that they just are gobsmacked that he manages to do this, but he is part of the reason that they are stuck in neutral, a big part of it.
Here is a man who needs no introduction, Jeff in South Park, our number two fan. Jeff, the time is now to make your prediction.
So I did the ultra scientific thing of going through the schedule and picking win-loss, win-loss.
Did you pick a Tomlin game in there, a game they're supposed to win that they lose?
So the ultra-scientific formula that I used for this was I was looking at it from the perspective of I do think if the defense stays healthy, they're going to be pretty great, but it's an offensive league, and I picked losses on the schedule where we were going up against a quarterback where no matter how great the defense was, it's not going to make a difference. And I came out at, and I double-checked myself, at 8-9. And I think there's a couple of swing games in there. I actually think the first game of the season against Atlanta could go either way. I picked it as a loss. But if they happen to win the opener, then all of a sudden you're looking at 9-8. But my official prediction is 8-9. And the only time I picked against my formula where I picked a loss against a quarterback where
you denied science.
Yes.
This quarterback blinded you with science.
Yes.
You went with the creation belief instead of the
evolution
Darwin thought.
Well, the one that I picked, where I didn't think that the quarterback, it was the game where they play the Browns 4 days after they play the Ravens. I picked that as a loss. You're going on the road 4 days after.
It's a lot of AFC North ball in a very short window of time, Jeff.
Yeah, I think we will split against the Browns. I do. But that one where they're playing them, I'm assuming that's a Thursday, 4 days after we play the Ravens, that's going to be a loss. So that's a big swing in the season, too. So my official prediction is 8-9. If they manage to beat Atlanta, then I'll switch it to 9-8. But officially, right now, I'm picking that as a loss.
Our number two fan predicting last place finish.
Yes. And you know what? To go along with that,
I'm writing that down, last place.
If the Steelers finish in last place and the Pirates finish in last place, and it's not too hard to think that maybe the Penguins will finish in last place. We're looking at Detroit from 5 years ago when all of their teams finished in last place.
Dun, dun,
wow.
Dun.
Now, Jeff, I'm looking at your Twitter. It seems like you've been tweeting a lot about Magic and Warcraft. Why is that? Why have you branched out and you're now doing more than just sports on social media?
Did somebody hack me? Because I wasn't doing that.
What Twitter feed are you looking at? Are you Jeff for South Park on Twitter?
No, I'm not.
The guy that's on the other line.
Yeah, I think that's an alter ego, Pony. You got fooled by a fake account.
There is a Jeff in South Park parody account.
Yeah, it's why the display name is Jeff for South Park, like he's running for office.
It also looks like you tweeted 26 big things small hands can do. No?
Yeah, I think we got the person who's coming up next. I think I can't believe my reputation precedes me that much that I now have.
How about this tweet from August 30th? Must have, and it's just a picture of Magic the Gathering. Mm.
I never played Magic the Gathering. Never. My bass player in my old band got into it at one point, and I made fun of him incessantly for it.
That's because you were too busy having sex.
Too busy having sex, absolutely.
All right, see you, Jeff.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.